I was thinking as we were setting up this week that my heart is full. I was just filled up with joy this week as we were setting up, and I realized the reason that was because we're about to have 170 kids come to our church. They're going to walk in. Some of them do not know Jesus. Doesn't get better than that. We have Alpha starting in a couple of weeks, where we're going to have a few people who do not know Jesus sitting in a room listening to stories about what the Christian faith is all about. It doesn't get better than that. This is good stuff we're a part of, hey? And I really, really want to encourage you to grab a star, grab a name of a kid and be praying this week for that kid. I believe God can plant seeds in people's lives and it will grow. Amen? So we're a part of something. If you are exploring faith or young in faith, I'd really encourage you to come and check out Alpha. Come and see me later. It would be a delight to have you come along. Hey, last week we talked about growing to have a friendship with the Holy Spirit. And we talked about how the Holy Spirit doesn't want just a visitation where he turns up at different times in our lives. He wants a habitation. The Holy Spirit wants to actually abide in us, to live with us, to be intimate with us, to be a friend with him. And we talked about from Ephesians 4 where it says that we can grieve the Holy Spirit. Now, if you can grieve the Holy Spirit, it means that the Holy Spirit is not some distant, powerful force. He is personal and he's intimate. You can't grieve someone who doesn't care. And so we said that the Holy Spirit is a personal God. He's not some power, some force out there that we don't relate to. We treat him as a person, a divine person. We talked about how the Holy Spirit is the seal that you belong to Jesus. Don't you love that? The Holy Spirit is a seal that you belong to Jesus. The Holy Spirit's not this added extra if it fits into your theology. He's at the center. He's a seal that says to you and I, we belong to Jesus. And then we talked briefly about how we have to deal with our relationships with one another when it comes to issues of forgiveness or bitterness or resentment, because how we treat one another is going to affect our friendship with the Holy Spirit. Today, I want to continue to talk to you about how do we develop a friendship with the Holy Spirit. In fact, a couple of weeks ago, I was talking to Ruth Nichols, and she asked me this question, not because she was looking for me to give the answer, but we were just having a talk about, she said, when Jesus was in the wilderness and he was tempted, did he overcome temptation because he was God or because he had the Holy Spirit and he just simply kept in step with the Holy Spirit? And she said this, she made a great comment. She said, if it was because he was God, then that is of no help to us. But if it was because he had the Holy Spirit, that is of tremendous help. Because it says this, he was an example for us in knowing how to overcome temptation by keeping in step with the Holy Spirit. I love that. Galatians 5, verse 1 says this. So Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in the slavery to the law. The NIV says it like this. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. So Paul, he's saying that one of the central themes to Christianity, one of the central themes to your faith is that we are called to experience freedom. Christ has come to set us free. He said this, it is for freedom that Christ set us free. Why did he set us free? So you can experience freedom. So you and I, a central theme to our walk with God and to practice this Christianity thing is that you and I would experience freedom. So it begs the question, freedom from what? I want to suggest that there are lots of themes about what we are set free from in the New Testament. But I reckon there are two common themes in the New Testament that tell us what we are set free from And the first is this: you and I are set free from condemnation. Romans 8 says this: there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but that is good news. That you and I, because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross for us, because he took the punishment for us, he now looks at us when we sin and he says, there is no condemnation for you. You have been set free from condemnation. Amen? That is outstanding. And the second thing, when Galatians 5 says, don't get tied up again in the slavery to the law, or don't let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery, this is a Bible way of saying that you are free from trying to make yourself right with God by being good enough. You can never get there. You and I are set free from the treadmill of striving to be good to get to heaven. You and I are set free from the striving in our own behavior to get right with God. We are set free from that treadmill. If you get on that treadmill of trying to be good enough to get to heaven, or that treadmill of trying to be good enough to stay right with God, you will become exhausted and you'll lose your joy. The New Testament theme of freedom is this: you are free from condemnation and you are free from getting on that treadmill of works. I love that. Galatians 5:4 says this: if you are trying to make yourself right with God by keeping the law, listen to this, you have been cut off from Christ and you have fallen away from grace. Think about that. If you are still trying to be on that treadmill of trying to be good enough to get to heaven, that treadmill of trying to make sure your behavior is good enough to be accepted by God, it says here, you have been cut off by Christ, from Christ. It says that you have fallen away from grace. Imagine being cut off from Christ. Imagine falling away from grace. And it says, if you rely on being good enough to get to heaven, that's exactly what's happened. You can't be good enough to get to heaven. My friends, we are set free from condemnation. And we are set free from that treadmill of trying to be good enough to get to heaven. And you know what that makes me do? And breathe. Thank you, Jesus. When I know that I know that I know that I am set free from condemnation and I do not have to get on that treadmill anymore of trying to be right with God because he's done it for me, I go and breathe. I go, thank you, Jesus. You know, I love the story of the woman caught in adultery. Many of us know that story. It's a story where the Pharisees, they catch this, you know, a woman who is in adultery, and they bring her to the feet of Jesus and they throw her at the feet of Jesus, and the Pharisees want to stone her. They want to stone her because of adultery. And Jesus doesn't respond. He simply bends down at some point and starts writing in the dirt. Very weird. And then he stands up and he says, well, okay, if you've sinned, you cast the first stone. And then he bends down again and he starts writing in the dirt again. We don't know what he's writing. I like to think that he's just simply writing all the other sins that people commit. Because it says then that one by one, from the oldest to the youngest, they eventually walk away. And then Jesus turns to her and says this: where are those who will condemn you? She said, they're not here anymore. And Jesus said this: neither do I condemn you. Now go leave your life of sin. Neither do I condemn you. Now go leave your life of sin. What I find interesting in this story is that the Pharisees actually wanted to stone her. Why? Because that's what the Old Testament said. They quoted Scripture. And yet, Jesus protected her from being stoned. Instead, he offers her grace and freedom from condemnation. I want to suggest to you today that this story, this event, is one where Jesus is using to demonstrate New Testament thinking. It's describing a picture of the way things were done in the Old Testament, stoning when you commit adultery, and Jesus is now ushering a New Testament idea, and that is freedom from condemnation. She was caught in adultery and she met grace. It's interesting, well, we need to recognize that Jesus still called her to repentance. That didn't change. That is a New Testament principle as well as an Old Testament. Be holy, walk as God wants you to walk. But this time she met grace. I can tell you now, she walked away and she didn't commit adultery again, not because she was fearful of punishment or being stoned, but because she met grace. She met a Jesus who said, there is no condemnation for you. My friends, when we become New Testament Christians, we walk in freedom from condemnation. Listen to Romans 6, 12 to 14. It says this, do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourself completely to God, for you are dead, but now you have new life. So your whole body is an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. And then it says this, sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. Sin is no longer your master. Why? Because you have been touched by grace. Not by the law, the Old Testament law, but by touched by grace. You and I are called to walk in righteousness, to obey God, because we are free from condemnation and we experience his grace. There is something about grace that turns our heart towards him. Titus 2:8 says that his grace teaches us to say no to ungodliness. It's his grace that teaches us to say no to ungodliness. Romans 7 says this, his kindness leads us to repentance. When you and I, we taste, the Bible says taste and see that the Lord is good. When we taste his kindness, it's supposed to lead us to repentance. It's supposed to lead us to bowing our knee. It's supposed to lead us to the place where we say, God, you be my God. My friends, we are free from condemnation. We are free from walking that treadmill of trying to get right with God from our behavior. We are under grace. But when we're under grace, we follow him. It sets us free. We are free from condemnation and free from that treadmill to follow Jesus. Good news, huh? And breathe. In Ezekiel 26 to 27, this is an Old Testament prophecy about the New Testament. This is a scripture in the Old Testament and it's speaking about what's going to happen in the New Testament. And it says this, I will give you a new heart and I'll put a new spirit in you. I'll take from you your stony, stubborn heart and I'm going to give you a tender, responsive heart. And I will put my spirit in you and you will follow me, follow my decrees and be careful to obey my regulations. So the Old Testament, the Spirit of God would come on people. In the New Testament, the Spirit of God lives in people. And because the Spirit of God lives in people, we now follow his decrees. Galatians 5:25 says this, since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Gordon Fee, who was a scholar, I think he's passed away now, was a scholar and a theologian. He says that when Galatians 5 says, since we are living by the Spirit, he says it refers to the Christian's new life in the Holy Spirit. He says, in other words, it's saying that our relationship with God exists because of the Spirit's work, not because of obedience to the law now. Another way of saying that is that we are directed not by external regulations and behavior, but we are directed by the indwelling of God's Spirit. So the law tells us what is right, but the Holy Spirit shows us how to live what is right. The law makes us dependent on human effort, but in the New Testament, we're dependent on God's Holy Spirit. See, my friends, New Testament Christians, people who are under a New Testament covenant, they know that they are free from condemnation. They know that they don't have to walk that treadmill anymore of trying to get right with God. And they know they have the Holy Spirit in them. And they're called to live according to God's ways because of those three things. I want to suggest that we become friends with the Holy Spirit when we know that we're not condemned and we're under grace. We become friends with the Holy Spirit when we lay down the treadmill of trying to be right with God, because we know Jesus did that on the cross. We become friends with the Holy Spirit when we know that He lives in us and He calls us to follow Him. So how do you do this? How do you cultivate a friendship with the Holy Spirit? I want to give you two simple things to do. Let me say that again. Not simple. Really, really hard, but simple, if that makes sense. I want to give you two things to do to cultivate a friendship with the Holy Spirit. And the first thing is this, and I'm now going to repeat myself. The first thing is this, you need to remember that we are New Testament, New Covenant Christians. We are not under the law anymore. We are New Testament Christians where we are free. Free from condemnation, free from the treadmill. We are under grace. My friends, I think as Christians we forget that all the time. And we need to keep coming back to the cross where Jesus Christ died on the cross. And we look at that cross and we go, thank you, Jesus, for your grace. Thank you, Jesus, for your mercy. Because grace is God giving us what we don't deserve, and yet mercy is God withholding from us what we do deserve. And at the cross, we meet grace and mercy. My friends, we need to remember over and over and over again that we are New Testament Christians under a different covenant than we used to be, under grace, free from condemnation. So the first thing we need to do, I think, to build a friendship with the Holy Spirit is that we need to continue to cultivate and understand that we are New Testament Christians. We are under grace. Amen? And the second thing is this. I want to suggest that to become friends with the Holy Spirit and have Him leading in every part of our lives, becoming friends with Him, we need to be intentional about alignment. Aligning our thinking with the way the Holy Spirit thinks. Let me say that again. To become friends with the Holy Spirit, I think we need to learn to align ourselves to think the way the Holy Spirit thinks. The Bible says this, that we have the mind of Christ. This means that we need to think the way the Holy Spirit thinks. Let me ask you this question. What takes you out emotionally? What is the thing in life that takes you out emotionally? And what does the Holy Spirit think about that? This is a battle of my life. That I can feel a certain way emotionally and I can get taken out emotionally by something, but the Holy Spirit wants me to learn to think the way He thinks about something, and me adjusting my thinking is a battle of my life. And yet for me to become friends with the Holy Spirit, for me to cultivate that friendship, I need to learn to think the way the Holy Spirit thinks. I think I've mentioned this before, but when I was probably around 22, 23, I went through a season in life which was the most painful season in my life, one of the most hardest times in my life. I'd wake up in the morning and I'd feel such pain that I'd have to get out of bed and just go for walks because I couldn't get back to sleep. It was just hurting so much. And I decided I was going to read the Psalms from the Bible, and I read things like this: God is my shield. God is my refuge. God is my rock. God is my deliverer. And over time, as I aligned my thinking and changed my thinking, God became my rock. God became my refuge. God became my portion. God became my deliverer. But I had to change my thinking to get to the point where I was thinking what I think the Holy Spirit was thinking. But it was really, really hard to do. I remember when I was about 15 years old, I was in the middle of getting some counselling. I can't even remember about what. I was pretty dysfunctional, so, you know, whatever. And I was getting some counselling, and the counsellor said to me at one point, she stopped me and she said, "Cameron, you enjoy being sad." It's quite a profound statement. You enjoy being sad. You live in it. It's comfortable for you. And so I went away and I started to change my thinking. It took 3 months of me changing how I was thinking from my emotions to eventually catch up. That's how intentional we have to be about changing our thinking and making sure that our thinking is aligning with what the Holy Spirit is thinking. It's hard work. But if we want to keep in step with the Spirit, we need to learn to think the way the Holy Spirit thinks. Whether you're going through a tough time and your most common thought is, "I can't do this." And yet Philippians 4:13 says that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Well, but you're someone who says, "Well, Cameron, I don't feel saved." But John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that whoever believes in him, he shall not perish." Well, but you're sitting there going, "Well, Cam, I don't feel the presence of God." And yet I can say, Joshua 1 says, "Be strong and courageous, for I will never leave you." Well, but you're someone who says, "Well, I feel insignificant." That's what dominates my emotion. I would say, "Well, read Psalms 139. Well, but you said to me, "Cam, I feel like a sinner all the time." And I said, "Well, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says you're a new creation." Well, but you're someone who's just concerned about what other people think of you. And yet in Psalms 52:62 says, "My salvation and my honour depend on God alone." Well, but you're saying, "Well, Cam, I struggle to trust God, particularly financially or in other areas." And I'd say, "Well, Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart." Well, but you say, "Well, Cam, again, I don't feel like I'm a Christian." Well, you need to read Ephesians 1. Maybe some of you would say, "I feel directionless, like I have no future." Yet you need to read Jeremiah 29:11. See, my friends, if you're going to keep in step with this Spirit, it's not enough just to know you're under grace. It's not enough just to know that you know there's no condemnation. You have to be intentionally aligning your thoughts with what the Holy Spirit is thinking. So my question to you is this: what takes you out emotionally most of the time, and what would the Holy Spirit say about that? What scripture can you grab hold of and cling to and meditate on and write down so it becomes your mandate. It becomes the thing that you think about and hold on to and cling to until it becomes central to your thinking. If you want a friendship with the Holy Spirit, we need to change and learn to think the way the Holy Spirit is thinking. And this is a battle of my life. I reckon daily I have to change my thinking to think the way the Holy Spirit thinks. How are you going at that? What area in your life do you need to go, I need to get some truth into me? I need to start clinging onto the Word of God. I need to start thinking the way the Holy Spirit is thinking. Last week we talked about having a friendship with God is all about knowing that God is, the Holy Spirit's personal and that He's our seal. He tells us that we belong to God, that we need to deal with our relationships with one another because our relationships with one another affects our relationship with the Holy Spirit. But today we're talking about if you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, you're going to know that you're under grace. You're not on that treadmill anymore. But we need to align our thinking with the way the Holy Spirit thinks. Because that's the way you keep in step with Him. Do you trust God with all your heart? Do you get anxious about things? And the Holy Spirit would say, trust in me. Are you worried about family members who don't know Jesus? What scriptures can you get hold of? Are you got a work situation at the moment that's really tough? Well, what scriptures can you get hold of? What does the Holy Spirit think about what you're wrestling through this morning? And how do you align yourself with thinking the way He thinks? Because that is the definition of keeping in step with the Holy Spirit. Does this make sense? Can I just finish off by saying this? I think this is critical. Do you want to come up? For spiritual maturity. I think there are times where we don't grow in spiritual maturity because we're still thinking old thoughts and not thoughts that the Holy Spirit thinks. My challenge to you tonight, this morning, is this. What takes you out emotionally? What are you wrestling through? And what would the Holy Spirit think about that? And how do you replace that with truth? Because the truth sets you free. But it won't come immediately. You have to do it over and over and over again for your emotions to catch up. I really believe that. This could be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Scripture says, take captive every thought to the obedience of Jesus. What thoughts do you have to take captive? What changing of your thinking do you need to take place in your mind so that you are transformed? Then you are walking with the Spirit. The last thing I want to say is this. You might be sitting there, you know, I don't assume that just because you come to church you're a Christian. I don't assume that. Because coming to church doesn't make you a Christian. Makes you religious, doesn't make you a Christian. The only way that you become a Christian is this, that you acknowledge that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. That the punishment that you deserve for your own sin, He took on Himself. That He was punished for you and for me. And He says that if you come to Him and confess your sins to Him, He forgives you. That is the only way you can come to faith. Have you done that? Because I reckon the first step in knowing grace is to meet grace, is to meet Jesus. It's not to come to church. You can come to church for years and still miss it because you're religious. Let's start with Jesus on the cross. Start there. Start with grace. No condemnation. No more on that treadmill. Start there. And then change your thinking so you become mature. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, this morning we just want to be a community of people who are friends with the Holy Spirit. We want to be a community of people who are growing in our spiritual maturity and growing in our faith. We want to be a people who are changing the way we're thinking so that we can align our thinking with the Holy Spirit's. And so we grow up emotionally and we grow up mentally and spiritually. And I ask you this, Lord, that you might put your finger just on something in our lives where we get taken out by. Something emotionally that we get taken out by, a situation that we're getting taken out by, work situation, family situation, relationships, or just the wrestles that we have. Lord, put your finger on one thing in our lives that take us out. And may we hear truth that we can replace that those thinkings with. May we replace it with truth, what the Holy Spirit would get us thinking. So we can align ourselves with Him and follow Him in these areas. But Lord, this morning we start with grace. We start with there is no condemnation. We start with the cross and we breathe. And we say, thank you for the cross. Thank you for the resurrection, and breathe. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.